It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. Michigan author Paul Vachon says water shapes the character of the Upper Peninsula, home to more than 4,000 inland lakes, 12,000 miles of rivers, and hundreds of named waterfalls. We explore the spectacular beauty and the adventures of our neighbor next door, and you can call in with a question or share comments. 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Paul Vachon is author of Moon Michigan's Upper Peninsula, Scenic Drives, Waterfalls, Lakeside Getaways, the guidebook now in its sixth edition. Paul, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Well, thank you for having me, Kate. It's wonderful to be here.
So your book is divided into chapters partially based on different regions of the Upper Peninsula. So which region would you recommend that we visit in the spring?
Well, for readers from Wisconsin, I'm in Michigan. I'm from the Detroit area. But the area closest to Wisconsin is the area of the Upper Peninsula we refer to as the Superior Upland. And there's a chapter devoted to that in the book. And it basically stretches from the area of Menominee, which is right across from Marionette in Wisconsin. And then it kind of arcs upward towards the town of Ironwood. It goes a little further east than that. It goes to pretty much where Silver City is, which includes the Porcupine Mountains. It includes a number of other wilderness areas and so forth. So if I had to cite one highlight of that region, and there's a lot of nice things, the one that I would single out mostly is the Porcupine Mountains. It's a state park in Michigan, is Porcupine Mountains Wilderness State Park. It's the largest state park in the entire state of Michigan, and it's pretty rustic. It's a great place.
Yeah, you call the Porkies, as they call them, a majestic highlight. So, and there are hikes, there are things you can do around the Porkies. How visible is Lake Superior from, like, the trails at the Porcupine Mountains Wilderness State Park?
It varies a little bit. If you're because you're in the mountain, of course, well, they're not literally mountains, they're hills. But if you're down in a valley or something, then you probably won't see it. But as soon as the trails often, you know, go uphill and they ascend to different tops of mountains and things like that. And I would say at least 50% of the time when you're towards the peak of one of these hills, you can easily see Lake Superior. It's and because you're less than probably 10 or 15 miles from the coast usually.
So what is the difference in between like the Superior Upland and the northern highlands of the Upper Peninsula? You know, what varies in these landscapes?
Well, as you go a little bit further east from the Superior Upland and you get towards, first of all, the Keweenaw, that's something else entirely. That's more the old mining area, and that's a little hilly too. But when you get a little further east, maybe towards the Marquette area, the land becomes more level, and there is a slightly, although very slightly, higher population density. And you'll see a lot of things that are maybe more conventional tourist attractions, if I may say that. The National Skiing Hall of Fame is actually in Ishpeming, which is not too far from Marquette. Then there's a number of other ski resorts in that area for winter tourism. And then in Marquette itself is Northern Michigan University, which is a great place. And in the same region in Hancock, that's in the Keweenaw, is Michigan Technological University. And these are all very, very cultured places, and they're more eclectic, certainly, than the pure wilderness areas.
In terms of islands, Isle Royale National Park is one of the least visited properties in the national park system. We learned that in the guidebook. So, what is there to see in this secluded park? What would you recommend?
There's two kinds of tourists that can go to Isle Royale. One is for people that are probably not as adventurous from an outdoors perspective, can go just for a day trip. They can take a ferry from, I think, either Wisconsin. I'm trying to remember the name of the town. But I'm thinking more Michigan, from Copper Harbor or from Houghton Hancock. And you can spend like a day there and then get the ferry on the way back in the evening. The other mode of visiting would be for the more dedicated hiker. And there is a series of trails that go from one end to the other. Isle Royale is actually several islands. It's an archipelago. And there are several inland lakes in it, which offer great fishing. And there is also some wildlife, too. There's a fairly robust moose population. And the federal government right now is gradually restoring the wolf population, which just about died out over the years. There was a lot of inbreeding, and that lack of genetic diversity caused the wolf population to die off. But that's being revived. And there's you know, some interesting peaks and valleys and so forth like that on the in the main part of Isle Royale.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a fascinating place. The area, and I don't say town, but because there aren't any, at the far northern tip is a place called Rock Harbor. And if you want to stay there and you're not a camper, that's the only place you can stay. It's the park operates like a lodge there.
Okay.
It is very expensive, I hate to say. But then at the other end of the park is a place called Windigo, and that is basically a trailhead for hikers to set out. There's like a general store there and a few other amenities. But for the most part, the island is pure raw nature. For people who do like to maybe fish along in addition to their camping and backpacking, there are a number of small inland lakes which offer terrific fishing. And there's an interesting loophole too. If you are fishing on one of those inland lakes, you do not need a Michigan fishing license. However, if you fish in Lake Superior outside, you do. So
interesting. Paul Vachon, author of Moon Michigan's Upper Peninsula, our travel guide to the UP, and you can be part of this excursion. Call in with a question. Share your experiences, 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We have travel writer Paul Vachon calls Mackinac City the gateway to the Upper Peninsula of Michigan and is giving us tips on where to rest and stretch after a long car ride to the UP. We explore the beauty next door, and you can be part of the discussion. Call in with a question, share your experiences, 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Paul Vachon is author of Moon Michigan's Upper Peninsula, now in its sixth edition. Let's go to Vicki in Mequon. Vicki, hi. What would you like to ask?
Hi, perfect segment for me. I was just sitting down to plan about an 8 or 9 day trip to the Upper Peninsula with some of my siblings from Arizona to see the fall colors this year. We're going to be going from September 25th to about August 4th. And we thought we would start out in Marquette and end up in Traverse City. So I was wondering if you have recommendations on, you know, where to kind of, we were thinking of two Airbnbs in each location, you know, as an anchoring point. But are there some highlights that we should not miss? And recommendations on which towns or areas to stay in? And just to say, we're in our 60s and 70s, so we're more of a sightseeing than, you know, finding.
Maybe sure. Yeah. Well, perfect timing, Vicki. Paul, go ahead.
Okay. Thanks for calling, Vicki. I think you said you expect to start your trip in the Marquette area. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. Well, if you're going to start there and then kind of proceed easterly, southeasterly, the one place you absolutely have to visit is Tuquamonon Falls, And Tequamanon Falls is at a place called, it's a little town. The town is actually called Paradise. It's on Whitefish Bay, and it's a, there's actually, it's a state park. There's actually two falls. There's the Upper Falls and the Lower Falls that are part of the Tequamanon River. And it's called, they call them the root beer falls. And the reason they call them that is there's a number of cedar trees that line the river. And when the cedar chips fall off, they acidify into when they hit the water, and it kind of gives the water like a brownish tint to it. And it looks like root beer when you see the waterfall. So it's really kind of interesting. It's the most, I think it's in fact, I know it's the most, highest volume of water of any waterfall east of the Mississippi, with the exception, of course, of Niagara Falls.
Wow.
So it's a great place. You got to see it. If you go to the Upper Falls there, which is the more dramatic of the two, there's a little visitor center with a nice restaurant nearby. And you could also, if you do want to do some hiking, there's a trail that goes from the Upper Falls down to the Lower Falls. It's about 2 miles, I think. And so it's, if you go that time of year, it's certainly best in terms of, you know, photography, if you want to do nature photography, in terms of the colors. And you can also, at Tequamanon Falls, but in other places, if you get lucky, you can find wildlife too. And that's a good time to photograph moose. The moose are in the area closer to Marquette. It's in the Huron Mountains area, although some of that is restricted to visitors. But there is a moose population there that you can see. And then if you continue after that, and if you go all the way down to if you go past the Mackinac Bridge, instead of crossing right into the Lower Peninsula, if you go past the Mackinac Bridge, you can get to the Les Chenaux area, which is on the Lake Huron side. And there are some wonderful, wonderful small towns there. One of them is a town called Hessel. And there's a great place there. It's a school that teaches cooking. It's called the Les Chenaux Culinary School. And in the off season, well, in the summer and I think early fall, I don't know exactly when they close, they operate as a restaurant, and it's a great, great place.
Oh, that is such great insights here. Now, Les Chenaux Islands, these are like dozens of really narrow islands off the and so also great for boaters, I would imagine.
Oh yeah, there's a lot of they have a boat show in August every year, and then there's also the whole island. Some of them you can camp on, some you cannot, but there's marinas, boat clubs. Some of them are private, but some are not. Some of them are like public restaurants and things like that. It's really an under-publicized place. You know, even a lot of people in Michigan don't know about it.
How is the lodging situation in the fall? Any tips there?
You have to be a little careful, because some places that are more geared to summer tourists, they close down by then. So you want to check in advance. I would say maybe 50% of the places might still be open by then, and then some of those close down maybe like around Christmas time. But around the fall, you can find a number of good accommodations. You can find chain hotels. You can find bed and breakfast, as I mentioned, and then you can also find something that is kind of a endangered species these days. And these are some of these old mom and pop motels, if you will. And there's not as many as there used to be, but there are some of them scattered around too. So those are, and they tend to be a lot more affordable than the chains. So.
On the topic of waterfalls, Bond Falls, you really think that one stands out? Can you tell us here a little bit about it?
Yeah, I photographed that, and I mentioned it in the book. Bond Falls is it's actually fed by an artificial, well, it's a river, but it's also amplified by a hydroelectric facility. But it's what's really nice about it is the way the water kind of cascades over the rocks. It results in the water being kind of a thin layer of water, and it takes on a real white foamy appearance. Well, and if you have photographic skills, if you take a picture of it with a at a slow shutter speed, under the right lighting conditions, you'll really get a dramatic look to it too. It's the water almost looks like whipped cream or something like that.
Paul Vachon, our guide to the UP, author of Moon, Michigan's Upper Peninsula, as we explore the region and its offerings, getting tips along the way. Call in with a question. You can share your travel tips as well to the UP, 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Travel writer Paul Vachon calls the Upper Peninsula America's northern paradise, with miles of freshwater coastline, hundreds of picturesque trails, countless lakes, rivers, and waterfalls. Vachon takes stock of them in his latest edition of Moon, Michigan's Upper Peninsula, and you can be part of the conversation. Call in with the question. Share your experiences in the UP, 800-642-1234. Let's go to Elizabeth in Appleton. Hi, Elizabeth.
Hi. Kate, first of all, I just want to say that you're so genuine and authentic, and I feel you really represent the people of Wisconsin, so I was really glad that they brought you back. Mm-hmm. And
thank you.
Technically, I have to say that the UP is Wisconsin. I know that's very controversial, but I have to put that out there because, you know, I love
those
Wisconsin
are fighting
so much.
Words, Elizabeth.
Oh, no one said I wasn't feisty, that's for sure. First of all, the pandemic happened and it changed all our lives, I feel, altered them, you know, in such a dramatic way. But one thing that happened was, my boyfriend started getting kayaks, and we started camping. So every year we go to the UP. We've been to Porcupine twice. Pictured Rocks twice and Porcupine. It's wonderful. Lake Superior is no joke. So if you're going to kayak, make sure you have skirt, like whatever those things are that cover you on kayaks. Mm-hmm. And don't paddleboard. Please don't paddleboard. That's just is awkward when we see that. But it's wonderful. Like I said, the UP might technically still be Wisconsin if anyone wants to sign up. But
do you need some more paddling recommendations, more kayaking recommendations?
So it can be really choppy and you really don't know. So you definitely want to kind of forecast the weather.
Mm-hmm.
We've been pretty fortunate that we've gotten it pretty calm. It's awesome. Pictured Rocks is awesome. You also, if you're not experienced, definitely hit up the local kayak tour companies, you know. But it's been wonderful being able to do it on our own.
Yeah.
We're avid kayakers, so.
Well, what
also,
great.
The Keweenaw is great, too, even though. Yeah, anyway, that's a little secret. I love the Keweenaw. So.
Oh, Elizabeth,
yes, Kate,
thank you. Oh, thank you so much for your kind words. Thank you also for these tips. Paul, what comes up?
Well, first of all, the Upper Peninsula is Michigan. It's not Wisconsin. Okay. there's actually, and I'm just going to diverge for a moment here, there's a historical footnote here. Two-thirds of the Upper Peninsula wasn't Michigan originally. The reason it was given to Michigan was because of a dispute that Michigan had with Ohio in the mid-1830s when Michigan wanted to become a state. There was a dispute over the area around Toledo, Ohio, and that was decided in Ohio's favor, but in compensation, Michigan got the western two-thirds of the Upper Peninsula. And it turned out to be an economic boon in later years because the copper that was in the copper mines in the Keweenaw, that the value of all that copper that was eventually extracted exceeded the value of the gold from the California gold rush by a factor of 10 times more valuable.
Wow.
And most people I digress though. But it's the Keweenaw is a special place. My favorite place in the Keweenaw is at the very tip. It's a little town called Copper Harbor. And I remember the TV show Northern Exposure, which took place in Alaska. And if you remember at the beginning of the show, when you see moose walk down the street, Copper Harbor is like that town. It looks just like it.
Oh, I love that. Let's go to Lorraine in Bay City. Lorraine, hi.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I just was going to mention, I'm sure it's in this book, we discovered just on a fluke quite a few years ago, Palm Book State Park near Manistique and the Kitchitakippi Springs, which is, the picture was, I think it's because I saw the picture on a tour book, and it's this tiny little state park, but it's really, really beautiful and good for people that don't want to do hiking. It's a gorgeous little state park.
Palm's Book State Park. What can we find there, Paul?
Well, Kit, I don't know if you know this caller, but Kitchitakippi is, there's an aerial shot of it on the cover of the new edition. I don't know if you've seen that or not. But Kitchitakippi is special. It's like an appendage of a lake called Indian Lake. And what's special about it is it's a very, very active natural spring. And there is a pontoon boat that is tethered to trees on either end of this little area. It's not very big. And you can get on the boat and turn a wheel, and it's tethered, so you can't go off course or anything. And you can look down, and you can see the sand volcanoes of the water bubbling up from underground. And the water is so clear, you can see all the way to the bottom easily. It takes on a little bit of an aqua tint to it, but you can see fish swim by and the water is always moving. It doesn't freeze over in the winter, amazingly. So you can go there just about any time, and it's just just an amazing place. The aerial shot that is on the cover of the book was taken during the fall, so you can see all these beautiful colored trees surrounding the little harbor there. And I've been there several times. When I travel, I sometimes travel with my wife. And she doesn't usually like going to places more than once, but she makes an exception for that. She loves Kitchitakippi.
So how much travel do you get to do to make a guidebook like this?
When I do it, I usually take about 8 or 9 days, maybe 10. For me, it takes almost a half a day to get there because I live in the Detroit area. I have to drive up there. Uh-huh. And then I'll usually start, in Mackinac, across the bridge, and then sometimes I'll go around like up to the Sioux and then go towards Marquette. Other times I go the other way, take the southern route, US 2, and then go towards towards Menominee and then later up towards the Superior Upland that I was talking about. I stay in different places. I like to try and stay in different places every time I go, probably places that are a little more off the beaten track. I like to go out and get on foot and explore things that you might not find if you were just doing research online. You can find a lot of things that way. But I like to look around and take new photographs, of course. But I like to, find maybe like an interesting shop here or an interesting restaurant there that may or may not appear online and that I can put in the book. So
from one edition to the next, do you find that a number of things change, or are there a lot of things that are still the same as you go back again?
It's a funny thing. Certain physical attractions obviously don't change, but places like hotels and restaurants and museums and things, they generally, and I'm speaking of tourism as a whole, have a high turnover rate. That's less true in Michigan's Upper Peninsula. Those things tend to be a little more stable. However, there are changes and so forth from time to time, and that's why I do a lot of online research to verify things and update them. But there's always some interesting new things coming up here and there, too. And I always, the editors want me to do, and I do this, too, is to try to keep the book fresh with every succeeding edition and put new things in too. One feature that the book has is the regular text is interrupted from time to time for something that we call a call out box. Mm-hmm. And it'll explore a specific theme. Sometimes it might be something simple as choosing a ski resort and some tips on that. Or it might be something like
scenic drives. You have a call-out box for that.
golf resorts. One of the biggest, I'm not a golfer myself, but I know a lot of people that are. A lot of people that like to golf, golfing in the UP during the fall when you have those beautiful colors around you is really a special experience too. So I give some information about that as well.
Let's go to Fred in Bayfield now. Fred, hi.
Hello.
What would you like to? Go ahead.
Well, I just wanted to share an excursion opportunity in the UP that's a lifelong Michigander. I just discovered by accident last summer, but for folks that are swimmers, there are beautiful sand beaches on Lake Superior, Lake Michigan, and Lake Huron in the UP. And if you're in a mode for a summer trip, pack a swimsuit and a towel, and in a route from Marquette to Detour, you can stop and swim in all three of the northern Great Lakes. There's a beach near Harvey, just east of Marquette. From there, you can travel through the center of the UP, through Sini, onto Lake Michigan beaches just west of the Mackinac Bridge. And in about another hour, you can be near Detour, Michigan, at the far east end of the UP and swim in beautiful beaches on Lake Huron. Spectacular opportunities.
I love it. It's a beach tour, Paul.
And that's great. I just have to caution listeners on one thing. Swimming in Lake Superior is not for the faint of heart. It's cold all the time, even in the height of summer. Now, what I do mention in the book, and what I have heard too, and this is a wonderful way to cool off, if you're on the Lake Superior side in the middle of the summer and it's a sweltering day, what you can do is go down to the beach, just wearing your swimsuit, and maybe lay down on the beach on a towel or whatever, and if there's a slight breeze, that water acts like a big refrigerator, and it'll produce a nice cool breeze over your body, and you can take advantage without actually going into the water, because it is cold there. I mean, the water is cold, and not just a little, a lot, all year long. There are some hardy souls that do it, but I
was just on a beach at Duluth and Canal Park, and there were hardy souls out there surfing. So it does happen. In the contrast, it just is such a contrast, though, to those sandy beaches on Lake Michigan. What are they like?
On the Lake Michigan side near Menominee, those are they're usually, most of them are parks, or like some cases municipal parks, municipal beaches operated by local cities, or I think there's a couple state ones too, and they tend to be very calm and very Lake Michigan isn't as volatile and as choppy as Lake Superior is. And the water, of course, is warmer, too. That little region of the Upper Peninsula is sometimes referred to as the Banana Belt. And it's an area that is, for reasons of geography, is kind of an isolated corner in terms of the climate. And it's not really as cold, certainly. There's even near a little town called Bark River, which is near Escanaba in that region, there's a winery there. Called the Northern Sun Winery, and they have their own vineyard there. And you might think that it's really odd that in that area they could grow grapes for wine, but they do. And there was research done at the University of Minnesota that developed a grape which is a little more cold resistant, and that's what they use there. And it's some of the best wine you'll ever taste there. It's called Northern Sun Winery in Bark River. I love the place, but it's in that same region, too. They call it the Banana Belt.
The Banana Belt. Paul Vachon, author of Moon Michigan's Upper Peninsula, Scenic Drives, Waterfalls, Lakeside Getaways. You can share your highlights from the UP. Call in with a question as well, 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Travel writer Paul Vachon says spring can be a wonderful in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan with moderate temperatures, blossoming trees, and gushing waterfalls. His moon travel guide to the region now in its sixth edition. Let's go to Jack in Madison. Jack, hello.
Hey, good morning, Kate.
Good morning.
So I was going to say, I've only been like a handful of times, but the UP really is one of my favorite places. My uncle has a cabin on the coastline in Menominee, and we used to go up there in the summer a lot, especially around the 4th of July. And it was just always cool getting out on the water. And like my cousin and I would canoe the shore of Lake Michigan, and that was always fun. I've not yet been up to the Porkies, although I've always wanted to do that. I think it's also interesting because, you know, as this kind of true of the Midwest in general, even though they're called mountains, I do kind of wish that a mountain range the size of New York's Adirondack Mountains or Vermont's Green Mountains were in the UP and Northeast Wisconsin. But yeah, it's just a great place in general. And just, it's nice that the UP isn't too far away, depending on where you are in Wisconsin for driving.
Oh, thank you so much for that sentiment and that recollection of those kid memories. Paul, go ahead.
Well, one thing I'd like to say, too, is that millions of years ago, those mountains were much higher than they are now. They've been worn down by successive ice ages over the centuries. So it was like that at one time. But I'm delighted with the caller's enthusiasm for that area, too. It's one of my favorites. You mentioned something a moment ago about waterfalls. Waterfalls are a nice thing to see any time of the year, but in spring, they're especially interesting because of the melting snow from the winter and that the runoff from that goes into the rivers, which fuel the waterfalls are much more robust during the spring. That's the time that you'll see the most dramatic flows, and it's the most scenic appearance of the waterfalls and so forth is something that you can take advantage of in the spring. And I'll put a plug in for Taquamina, but there's many others too. One of my favorites, and it's a very small one, is near near Munising. There's a small right outside of town. There's a river that has a waterfall. It's called Wagoner Falls. Wagner. And it's operated by the state of Michigan as a little nature site or what have you. And it is the most charming small waterfall. And I was so moved by it some years ago. I took a picture of it with a slow shutter speed, like I was talking about earlier. And I made a nice print out of it, and it's hanging in my office at my home right now as I speak. And it's just a very calming presence and so forth. Many of these waterfalls, and this one's included, is they have like decking and so forth that you can walk up and take up, you know, to photograph. Usually the deckings are not so obtrusive that they're going to get in the way of a photograph you want to take from somewhere else. So they generally do them in strategic ways and so forth. But spring is definitely the best time to see waterfalls.
Let's bring in Jeff in Madison. Jeff, you are from there.
Oh, it's me. Okay.
Yep.
Yeah, Jeff. My hometown is Crystal Falls. So I'm a Uber. I was going to mention that I didn't catch the first part of the program, but did your guest talk about the Garden Peninsula and the state park there and the restoration of that old town, Fayette area?
Yeah.
Which was originally a smelting area, a smelting place for iron ore back 100 plus years ago. Also, the Mystery Light near Paulding, north of Waters Meet, it claims to have been explained, but I'm quite convinced that the explanation, scientific explanation, is totally wrong. It's still a Mystery Light. And does he know anything about the huge ski jump over there in Greeby County? I think it's Copper Peak. Unable to be used because of the winds, but they're so high that you can see Canada from the top of the top of the ski jump.
Oh, wow, Jeff, lots of curiosities there. Paul, go ahead.
Okay, well, I'm familiar with two of the three things you just mentioned. The Garden Peninsula is really interesting. I've gone down there and seen Fayette is a it's a ghost town, but it's like an outdoor museum too. And back in as recently as well up until the 1890s, they produced pig iron at some of the foundries that were there, and that was a bustling town. But it was abandoned, and many of these ruins are preserved now, and you can see. One word of caution though, when you go there, it tends to be most times of the year very, very bug infested. So make sure that you have some repellent with you when you do go there. The Paulding Mystery Light, I've seen that. There's a casino hotel, an Indian casino hotel, not too far from there, and I stayed there once. And that evening, my wife and I drove out. It's a few miles from there, and we saw that. I'm not superstitious myself, so my own opinion is there's probably some rational explanation for that mysterious light that appears. I don't know what it is, but it is intriguing nonetheless too. It appears almost every evening too. Mm-hmm. You look down a railroad track, and the observation point is quite a ways away. It's at least a mile, and you can see this what looks like a lantern or something, or a strong light type in the distance. And sometimes it changes color a little bit too. It goes from white to red to maybe even a yellow at times. So I don't know the origin of it, but I'm sure there's got to be one. So.
Well, before we have to move on here, I want to make sure that we get in this. I thought it was a really great idea when traveling to Mackinac Island. And you recommend staying overnight in Mackinac City and then taking a day trip to the island, catching the first ferry. Can you talk a little bit about that aspect of being able to see Mackinac Island, but also on a budget?
Yeah, and the reason I suggest that is because the accommodations on the mainland are considerably more affordable than on the island. I mean, on the island, they start expensive, and they can get extremely expensive, especially the Grand Hotel. But there's just about everything you'd want to do on the island you can do during the day when you get there. And the ferries run, Scheffler's ferry runs from Mackinac City and from St. Ignace on the Upper Peninsula side quite frequently. And you can get there early in the morning at 8 o'clock, and you could stay there till 9 in the evening and get the last ferry back. But there's wonderful things to do. There's certainly shopping and, you know, more touristy things too, but there's a bike ride you can take. There's a Michigan highway, and even though there's no cars there, it's actually an official state of Michigan highway that runs the perimeter of the island. It's about 8 miles around, and you can ride. I've done it myself, and it's a blast. It really is.
Well, Paul, this has been such a wonderful tour. Thank you so much for joining us and for just such a wealth of tips.
Mm-hmm. Great. Well, thank you so much for having me. This has been wonderful.
Paul Vachon is author of Moon, Michigan's Upper Peninsula, Scenic Drives, Waterfalls, Lakeside Getaways. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network.